Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right now we're going to shift gears, talk a little space flight. Stephen Clark joins us from Ars Technica. Stephen, good to visit with you. I hope you're doing well.
Doing fine, Steve. Good to visit with you.
Yeah, something huge coming up, and that is another test flight of Starship. Of course, SpaceX and this giant rocket, it's the largest vehicle, the most powerful rocket ever to fly. But the plans are underway that they're going to try to catch the super heavy booster back at the pad. I've seen a number of videos and a number of reports. This is unbelievable.
Yes, yeah, Steve, and this is going to be quite a sight to see when they try this, potentially coming up on the next test flight of the Starship, which could happen in about a month's time. And this is kind of the natural progression of things as SpaceX matures the Starship system. They've got it into space successfully. They were able to make a controlled landing of the rocket offshore, pinpoint landing, but in the ocean. And that was kind of to verify that the entire architecture and guidance system that they have will work. And it did. And so there's enough confidence now among SpaceX engineers to be able to attempt to bring it back to shore. And for your listeners who have seen SpaceX land Falcon 9 boosters, they come down kind of on a circular concrete pad a few miles from the launch pad. It's a separate location. They recover them there when they bring them back to Cape Canaveral for recovery and reuse. For Starship, it's entirely different. The goal is to land the rocket directly back onto the launch pad, onto the location where it lifted off from a few minutes before. And that is intended to kind of expedite the reuse of the rocket. If everything goes well in the long run, many years from now, once all of this is ironed out, they want to be able to recover the rocket, refuel it, and launch it again within minutes or a few hours' time, like an airplane almost. And but they have to prove they can catch it on the tower. This tower has big articulating arms. They call them chopsticks. They look like a giant Godzilla arms that will encircle or envelop the booster as it comes back and hovers. So it's going to be a lot of moving parts. The ground system has to be working in concert with the rocket. Everything has to be at the right place at the right time. It's going to be quite exciting as they attempt it.
Well, and there is a huge risk in all of this. If it comes in and it's somewhat uncontrolled, this is a gigantic rocket the size of a building. And if it's out of control, it could destroy all that infrastructure down there in Texas and delay the program, you would think, months. It could be a huge setback if this doesn't work.
Yeah, I think that's a risk that they're looking at right now. It comes back down to the ground. There's still some fuel and propellant in the rocket when it lands, So there is explosive potential. I think it's going to be interesting to see as they attempt, because you're exactly right. If it does not go well, they damage their only active launch pad. And SpaceX does move fast, so I don't think it would, kill the program or delay it years, but I think they would probably be a few months trying to repair the pad before they could try again if something went wrong.
Now, Stephen, you've been there to see this vehicle launch, and they've done more and more with each launch. This would be number 5 coming up. What they have been able to do so far is to bring the booster super heavy and then the upper stage or the ship back through the atmosphere, which are major accomplishments. They continue to make improvements. And what's so unique about it is that they launch, they figure out new things, they make it better, and then they quickly launch again. And this really goes back to the earliest stages of the company and what SpaceX has done. This is typical that what would be considered a failure in most circumstances is just part of the deal. They expect things to go wrong, and they fix it and move on.
That's right. That's right, Steve. If you saw the video from the very first Starship launch a little over a year ago, the rocket flew out of control after about a minute and a half and blew up a short time later. But if you watch the engineers in the control center, all the SpaceX teams, they're roaring in applause and excited and giddy about the result because they were able to gather a lot of data and figure out exactly what parts of the rocket they needed to work on more. They found there were fires in the engine bay, fuel leaks in the engines they had to plug, and I think the destruct system on the rocket was not as robust as it needed to be. And of course, they discovered that they needed to redesign the launch mount, which they did in really amazing record time. In a few months, they were able to rebuild the entire deck of the launch pad. So all that was learning going into the second flight, which went better, and then the third flight made more progress, and the fourth flight in early June was the first one to go from start to finish, really reach its intended destination, so to speak, in the Indian Ocean. And they still found some things that they needed to touch up, like with the heat shield on the ship. And they're working on that now as well. So each one of these flights is a lesson, as a learning opportunity for the engineers.
Yeah, we're typically, for instance, the Artemis program and the Space Launch System, you know, before they launch, they want everything right. There is no opportunity with the expense of the system, the expense of the rockets, et cetera. It's kind of like they wait till they're sure it's right before they go. And that's just the opposite approach. And it seems to me what SpaceX is doing and what innovations they're making, this, just from the outside looking in, seems to be a better approach.
Yeah, I think it does move faster, and it ends up being less expensive in the end. You know, I think as long as the organization that's doing the work, like a private company like SpaceX, has the fortitude to handle setbacks or quote-unquote failures. Because, you know, I think the difference with NASA is a couple of things. They're not reusing the rocket. So once they launch it, they can't get it back to, you know, they can't get it back to inspect what may have gone wrong. And they have to build an entirely new rocket. They have this standing army of people building the space launch system for the Artemis program, the big NASA rocket that is kind of analog to what Starship capabilities are. And also, you know, a lot of what NASA, everything NASA does actually, is congressionally driven. And Congress appropriates funds, and they have districts around the country, so they spread out all the work kind of in an economically inefficient way to every lawmaker, every congressional member wants to bring money back home to their district. So, you know, NASA will brag that parts of their spacecraft or parts of their rockets are built in all 50 states, and that's not the case with SpaceX, but that is kind of inherently inefficient in the end.
Yeah. Well, we look forward to it. Can hardly wait for this next test launch of Starship. Stephen, good to visit with you. Look forward to continuing to read your work at Ars Technica. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Stephen Clark on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.